Thankful to say this morning that it's well with my soul. I couldn't say that all my life. I couldn't say that because it wouldn't be true. But I am so thankful for the Lord's mercies to us and for His unfailing love, His blessings to us. Thank the Lord this morning for salvation. I desire your prayers today. The Lord would help us. I'd kind of like to have like a Bible study this morning that would include all of us, and it would be a blessing to us. There's lots of things that I've been studying, and I just need prayer today. There's so many things in my mind. So I do desire your prayers. Let's look at Luke 16:19. Luke 16:19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Well, I want to talk to us this morning about something that's on my mind. It's been heavy on my heart. When I look at the condition of our world and the thinking patterns that we're getting in and that's coming about in our land, I'm troubled. I'm troubled because I really think that some of the thought processes that is evolving and things that are going on, it just kind of creeps among the people in general, and it goes and spreads through all of the church, and it goes everywhere. And I'm very much concerned this morning that we keep a right balance between what's fair, and we know how to distinguish between justice and mercy and fairness, that we keep the proper perspective of in our life. I have several things to read to you. A lot of this I'm going to read to you some notes, some things that I have picked up in others' writings, and so I don't want you to think all this is original. I want to take the Word of God most of all and look at it. That's the basis of all of our discussion today. I want to ask you this morning, was it fair for Lazarus to sit there and that rich man had all that food? Was it fair? Oh, you can answer yourself. I'm not expecting you to tell me. But when I think about Lazarus sitting there, he was becoming rich in faith. There was something happening in his life that he knew that this was transitory. This was just a small spot. This was just a place that he was going through a short period of time. Might have lasted 50 years. I don't know. The Bible's not clear how long he was afflicted, but he was there. I believe this story. I believe he was there, and the rich man had all these things. Didn't seem fair, did it? But it looked like Lazarus was looking at something further on. He was getting something. The rich man was getting his. In fact, Abraham told him, he said, "Son, don't you remember that you in your lifetime, you accumulated all these things and you had such luxury and you had such blessings. And your beggar man out there by the gate, he had none of these things. You in your lifetime, you accumulated and you enjoyed all these things, but now, look what your decision, look where your life has landed you." All right, I want to read some to you now, and I want you to bear with me. If I go too fast for you and you want to take some notes, that's fine. If I'm too slow, I'm sorry. I'm not a very fast person, but I want you to, all I would ask you this morning, as you listen to some of these definitions, and you would just be patient with me while I bring some of these things out. And if there's something you don't agree with, I'm just open as I can be for you to talk to me about this. But I want you to listen to some things here that I've dug up, and I want to share them with you. Fairness. Let's write this so we don't lose our... I'm sorry. Justice. Justice and mercy versus fairness. All right. Fairness. I'm going to give you a definition. Fairness is lowering God's standards to a level that can be achieved with our human will and ability. Fairness is based upon man's value system and timetable. It is a product of ever-changing human comparisons. Fairness is looking at the situation from the viewpoint of each person rather than the viewpoint of God. No, it was not fair for Lazarus to be out there on that cold steps, those old dogs coming by and licking on him, hungry. Didn't seem fair, but we have to look farther beyond and look more than just our own comparisons and look and see what God was doing. All right, I have 13 things I want to read to you. Please pray for me. I know this is a little bit different, but I would like for you to think about some things this morning, and maybe it'll jolt our thinking process that we go through sometimes. Justice is based on the universal, unchangeable principles of God's Word. Do you agree with that? Well, you don't have to. I better not ask for that. I want you to think. I want to give you an example here. Someone find Genesis 2 and 7. What does that say? Genesis 2 and 7. Let's look at this first scripture here. And Exodus 20, 1, 20 and 13. Please read for me. Let's be quick because I...
Genesis 2, 7.
Thank you.
"The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul."
All right. We find here the beginning. There is a principle here. We don't want to violate principles. God was the giver of life, and he is the one that has the authority to destroy it. Yeah. Exodus 20:13. Remember this, please. 20 and 13 of Exodus. "Thou shalt not kill." He's telling us, don't take matters in your own hands. He's the giver of life. Now I want to look on the other side. We're on this side at the moment. Let's go over. We'll do this 13 times if the Lord will help us. Fairness is based on the variable customs of a society and the changing will of the majority. Laws based on fairness now give mothers the liberty to decide whether or not they want their unborn children to live. You see what I'm thinking of this morning? We have a lot of things that is coming against the beliefs that we have. And I feel like we need to get back to principles and stay close to them. All right, number two. Justice establishes guilt when God's standards are violated. Someone read Matthew 5, 21 and 23. Justice establishes guilt when God's standards are violated. Let's look and see what the scripture says. 5, 21, 23.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire.
All right. I believe here God is telling us everyone is responsible for your actions and for your thoughts. We're accountable. There is so much that's happening in the world today, people are saying it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. The devil made me do it even. I've heard that. And all kinds of things. People are getting out from the trying to escape by using different kinds of excuses. The scripture is pretty clear here. Fairness. I'm on this side. On the other side now, fairness tries to remove guilt by lowering God's standards. And I read about a judge in Wisconsin that this teenage boy had abused a girl, and he ruled that because of all the sexual stimuli that boy had been exposed to, he was only doing that which was natural. And I'm telling you folks this morning, I'm very troubled by the moral condition of our world that we're living in. And there's a lot of things people are just saying, well, that's just fair.
Yeah.
That was just fair. And this judge ruled that it was just fair that because of what that boy had been exposed to, he was just doing what was natural. Listen, when we transgress God's ways and His laws, there's going to be a penalty for it.
Yeah.
And I feel like we need to keep these things fresh in our minds.
Yeah.
All right, the third thing, justice causes us to confess our failures and plead for mercy. 1 John 1, 9, and 10. Would someone please read that? Justice causes us to confess our failures and plead for mercy.
If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us.
Amen. Folks, I tell you, there's something whenever we are convicted of sin. When we're convicted, it's time to confess. It's not time to excuse. It's not time to make up things. It's time to confess.
Yes.
There are so many things that's happening in our world. People are justifying themselves. We need to realize that justice causes us to confess our failures and plead for mercy. On the other side now, on fairness. Fairness causes us to justify our failures.
Yes.
So that we do not think we have done anything wrong. You know, there are laws in our land that a criminal can plead in temporary insanity. Temporary insanity. I just didn't know what I was doing. I don't know how many men have talked to me and said, man, I didn't even know I'd done that. I didn't even know. I realize there's some drugs and people get so far out, but I tell you, there's a little scapegoat that I see people taking,
yes,
pleading temporary insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And they're guilty of things.
Yes.
And you see fairness, this deal that is in the land and I see happening is causing much problems.
Yes.
the penal systems are overflowing with people. And they have no fear. They know it's a slap on the hand for what they know. They go in, it's not going to be no big thing. It's just going to be in and out. And folks, we need to have a fear of God. And when we recognize we've done wrong, we need to confess and repent. The fourth thing, justice and mercy are based on personal responsibility to a holy God, and they will produce a revival in a nation. 2 Kings 22 and 1. Can we read that? And there's another, but let's look at that. 2 Kings 23 and 1.
23.
Yes. 2 Kings 22 and 1. I'm sorry. 2 Kings 22 and 1.
Josiah?
Uh-huh.
Was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Judea.
Okay.
The daughter of...
That's all right. Keep that. All right. It's all right.
By Judea of... I can't pronounce those words.
That's all right. Let me do a little time saving here. Thank you, Brother Wade. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And this young man, he began to look at the law of God. He began to study things. He began to take things to heart. And he read, and it affected him. And when he read these things, it affected the people. And he realized that we're guilty. We are guilty. We need to do something about it. We need to open up and keep the words of God alive today and let them affect us personally. I don't know how the Word of God is going to affect a nation unless it begins to, on an individual basis. May God help us today. Fairness is based on personal interest and will produce rebellion within a nation. You see, justice and mercy is personal responsibility. But personal interest and the people are taking this fairness thing to so far the limits. It's causing so many things that is changing in our society. An example is laws based on fairness legitimize consensual same-gender relationships, sodomy, as personal rights. In reality, such acts are moral rebellion and not personal rights. They deaden the conscience of the community and invite God's judgment. Dear ones, we're faced with so many things right now that's happening. The moral condition, the moral fiber of our nation. There's things happening. People are accepting same-sex marriages. There's all kinds of things that's going on. We're going to have to realize this is an alarm for us. There's some changing. There's things going on, and we need to be concerned about the condition of our land. Here's an 8-year-old boy, Josiah, and he's concerned about the condition of the people. Yes. His people. I'm concerned about condition of our people too. And I don't want something that is happening that I can see. It's just like a slimy something. It just slips in and has a way to cause us to be deadened by how our conscience, to cause us just not be alarmed by things going on. Lord, help us. I don't want a deadened conscience. I don't know about you, but I don't want something to just slip in and just take over and not ever say a thing. I believe the Bible tells the ministry to sound an alarm in Zion. That means ring the bell, blow the horn, awaken people. There's things going on. We have conditions that are existing and they're creeping in and causing us much trouble. I'm going to tell you, they say there's only 2 to 3% of the population that are homosexual. But I'm going to tell you that 2-3%, if that's indeed accurate, are sure causing a lot of trouble for the other 97%. Lord, help us to stay awake spiritually and alert. This fairness deal is creeping in and it's causing so much trouble. God, help us today. Yes, he hates unjust weights. You know, he wants us to be equal in all of our dealings. I'll get to that here, Lord willing, in just a moment. Number five, justice is based on protecting eternal values. Fairness is based on protecting temporal values. Look in Ecclesiastes 5:4. Someone please read that. Truthfulness and loyalty to sacred vows are more important than personal pleasure. What we have today, people are saying, well, I'm just not happy anymore in my marriage and I'm just going to leave. I'm not happy. Do you understand me? I am not happy. And that's not the reason we got married, is so you can be happy. There's something, you know, it's more than just temporary, you know, my personal pleasures. Being faithful to God, being faithful to your wife, it means something.
Yes.
All right, Ecclesiastes 5:4, someone read that, please.
When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools.
Yes.
Pay that which thou hast vowed.
Amen. I believe that. I really believe that. And Lord help us, if we lose the liberty to preach the truth, folks, we've lost something valuable. I believe that. The ministry, there ought to be unleashed. It never should be constrained. Never should feel like I can't preach this because I know it'll offend somebody. I believe I love people. I love that I'm concerned about us. But folks, the Word of God takes precedence over my friends, over everything. We have to be willing to let the truth go forth in its fullness and not bridle it here and there. I tell you, this number five really struck me because there's lots of divorce because of incompatibility. We're just not compatible. When did you find that out? What's going on? It's personal. You see, we're looking at fairness. It's just not fair for me to go. You know, I watched my mom and dad. They were so different. You know, there was times they had a rough time together, but, you know, Mama just always felt like we need to stay together. She kept things together. Lord, help us today. Number six, justice emphasizes personal responsibility. Fairness emphasizes personal rights. Personal responsibility, personal rights. Think about it for a moment. Read Matthew 5:27-32. While you're getting that, every person is responsible for his every thought. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus explained that a man has lustful thoughts toward a woman, he is already guilty of adultery with her in her heart. But fairness, laws based on fairness concerning pornography conclude that every person has a personal liberty to read whatever he wants to read. Judicial rulings based on fairness claim that mortality cannot be legislated. The fact is, every law legislates morality. I've heard that old saying, you can't legislate morality. But every law we have, there's a stop sign out here, and you might say, I'm not going to do that. Plow right on through that. The law is telling you don't do it. You better not do it. There's something moral. There's something about obeying the law.
Amen.
May the Lord bless us today. Please read that real quick for me. 27, 5 and 27 through 32, those few scriptures, please read.
You heard that it was said by them of old time,
yes,
thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery.
Amen. I didn't write that. Amen. I've about got my ears boxed in jail from some of them men because I've quoted that to them. And they said, I don't believe that. That you can't. Yeah, I just looked. But that didn't. That's not what it said. It said, look to lust.
Yes.
The people were being justified. They thought everything was fine because they hadn't committed the act. They were not guilty of the act. But Jesus went further than that and He dug down toward the iniquity of the sin.
That's right.
He got down to the iniquity of it. And when you get down to the iniquity of it, that is the root of it. That's what got David into trouble. It's what gets us the iniquity of our sin. So be careful, those iniquities. Iniquities, just looking. You can't, you know, there's a lot of things pass your way, but it's looking to lust after. The opportunity arose, I would do it. Be careful.
Yes.
He's saying here, be careful.
Well,
yes. He gave the way that I see that, Brother Wade, is the Lord, there was a time there that for the, He gave them an excuse for, there was fornication, there was an unfaithfulness in the other person's part to divorce them. So, if that was, He gave them a way to divorce their wife then, but He said from the beginning it wasn't so. He didn't want that, but He said saving for the cause of fornication. There was an unfaithfulness in the other partner's life. And I didn't...
Fornication is before marriage.
Yeah.
Pardon?
Fornication is before marriage.
Yes, well, there could have been unfaithfulness there and unfaithfulness afterward too. But I agree with that. But I've got seven more things to cover. We could spend quite a bit of time on that. But I want number six. I don't want to get off of this too quick. Justice emphasizes personal responsibility, but fairness emphasizes personal rights. Oh Lord, help us today.
Yeah.
Number seven, justice is the expression of God's wisdom for a nation, and its application will lead to prosperity. Read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, and Proverbs 14, 34. A lot of reading, folks, but you know how fast we can do this. Let's read this. The Scripture said, I want to stir your mind up by way of remembrance.
Yes.
I want to bring some things out today, and you're free to look at this yourself and say, I don't believe this, or yeah, that's good or that's bad. I want to stir your mind up, because sometimes I feel like that we don't get enough of some very clear points in Scripture. That I don't want to just skim over things and have people that are just flighty. I'd like for us to be established. I'd like for us to know things. When we get out in the world, that we don't face things with just half knowledge. That's just the way the church teaches. I would to God that we could get a hold of things that we understood ourselves. So, Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. Remember, if a nation followed God's principles of finance, individuals, families, employers, and charitable institutions will meet its welfare needs, not the government. Oh, I'll probably get in trouble for that. But 28 and 1 through 14, please.
This shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee.
Yes.
If thou hast hearkened, thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. Thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. 3:14?
Yes. We find a real blessing here when people followed after the principles of God's Word. He said, I'm going to make you the head, not the tail. You're going to lend to many nations and not borrow. There's going to be blessings that overtake you when you follow after me. I'm interested in that.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that. That really gets my interest when I see how the Lord works, and how his ways are so far superior to our ways. Folks, I believe there's a blessing in following the principles.
Yeah.
And I want to stick with them. This expression to a nation, how he brought this about, he just told them in every detail. I'm going to bless you in the field. I'm going to bless you at home. I'm going to bless you over here and over there. The work of your hands is going to be blessed when you follow me. So, Lord, help us today. Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalts. Sin is a reproach. If we want to stay the head and not the tail, we need to be a people that put God first, and a people that love him with all of our heart and our soul and mind and strength. On the opposite side now, let's look at fairness. Fairness is the expression of human reasoning for a nation, and its application will lead to financial ruin. Laws based on fairness are taking more and more authority from parents, churches, and businesses. As a result, the government is assuming an overwhelming responsibility for the social welfare of its citizens. Oh, I know this morning there's a lot of things probably crossed your mind, but I want to tell you, be careful the laws based on fairness. There's something going on, and God wants us to be dependent on Him. He wants us to learn how to trust Him to take care of us. When we put Him first, we'll prosper. When we don't, we won't. Abraham Lincoln said one time, he said, we're drunk on the prosperity of this nation. We've went from success after success, and we've reveled so long, he said, we're in trouble. This was Abraham Lincoln. And I think today, we're really in trouble. Lord, help us today. Number 8, justice is impartial. It is objective and non-emotional. But fairness is partial. It is subjective and based on arbitrary emotional considerations. Here's a scripture. I've got too many of them. Proverbs 24 and 23. Read. I'll help you. I'll read that. 24 and 23. It says, "These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment." Your color has no bearing on what the outcome should be. Your education should not have a bearing on what the outcome it should be. This scripture says, it is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. Lord, have mercy upon us. Justice is impartial. And there's the lady that is holding the scales and blindfolded with a sword. I'm afraid many times that is not true in things. There's a lot of things that are not being dealt right. There's times that I'm telling you, I've done several ride-alongs with policemen. We stopped this lady one night. She's flying. And this guy wants to be fair. He wants to, and he says, "Chaplain, listen, what do I do?" And he said, "You got a quarter?" Yeah, flip it. Head, she gets one. Tail, she don't. Well, she got one. But being impartial, it's non-emotional. You transgressed. You was exceeding the limit and you get a ticket. Being fair, you might say, "Well, oh man, look, they, you know, can hardly look like they're having a hard time." In fact, this policeman said, "When I attempt to be fair, I find that every time I attempt to be fair, I get off. I get things skewed." Lord, help us today. I'm telling you, it's something to think about. I hope you have something to think about today, because we have a lot of things that is changing in our society. And I want us to look at God's law first of all. Yes. Righteousness exalt a nation. Sins reproach any people. Yes. The fairness and all that's coming in and causing challenges in the law and things, just, it's not fair. It's not fair. I hear that so many times. Lord, have mercy upon us. Number 9, justice results in swift prosecution of criminals. Read Ecclesiastes 8 and 11. I'll quote it to you. "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil." That's what 8 and 11 says of Ecclesiastes. You might lose me here, but I'm telling you, there's things. Fairness results in the inconsistent punishment of a criminal. Laws based on fairness often cause harsh consequences to parents who spank their children. We had a young lady that came to our church, and my wife knew her, and she spanked her child. The school saw some bruises. I don't know if she spanked her too hard. Maybe she did. She probably used her hand. I don't know. But there is such punishment now meted out to parents because of the abuse thing that's going on, that many times parents are saying, "Well, I just can't spank my child because these laws. I'll get thrown in jail." I'm telling you, you will get thrown in jail. I know for a fact you will. You'll get your children taken away from you. This is because of fairness, folks. And the Bible teaches us not to abuse our children. It doesn't teach us to beat them and out of anger. But it tells us, using the rod, when you use the rod, you'll not spoil the child. If you do it in such a way, you do it out of a fit of anger, yes, you can do things and go way beyond the limit. And I tell you, there's laws that'll snatch you up real quick if you do. Be careful. Fairness. You think, well, this doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. If you have children, this certainly affects you. Be careful, because these new laws and things are a lot of things happening, folks. I've seen it over and over on the other side of the fence. And I've seen people that were guilty. Listen, I went to a whole class for several hours on child abuse, and it makes me sick to think about it. But I know there's another side to it. People are not doing it the right way. But I can tell you, if we don't correct our children, they'll cause a mother shame. That's what the Bible said.
If we don't correct them, then the police will correct them.
Yes, it's true. There's lots of harsh consequences to parents who spank their children. And then there's drug and pornography users who violate morals of children, and somehow they can get by with some of that. Our society is sick. There's things going downhill, and I think when I read this scripture, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And I think, Lord, can we not have some little sessions, and can we not educate? Can we not just look at some of the different things from a scriptural standpoint and bring it out in such a way that we could get a hold of this, and it would help us and keep us together and keep us in the right direction, keep us going the right way. Number 10, justice limits the punishment of a criminal. Mind you, I'm over here now. It limits the punishment of a criminal. What did it say in Exodus 21 and 24? What is the scripture? It says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I want to tell you, that's non-emotional. It is something, it limits justice, or justice limits the punishment of a criminal. On the other side, with fairness, fairness results in the inconsistent punishment of a criminal. In other words, maybe I got these two mixed up here a little while ago, but fairness causes harsh consequences for children who spank their parents. Parents who spank their children. Yeah, you better not try to spank your parents. I'm sorry. But the inconsistency, while pornography and children abusers get by with things, you know, drug users and all, they can get by with so many things, and people just trying to correct their children get severely reprimanded for that. Number 11, justice establishes God's view of what is essential for a nation to be successful. Justice establishes God's view of a nation of what is essential for a nation to be successful. On the other side, fairness establishes man's view of what is essential for a nation to be successful. The book of Genesis tells the punishment, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for the image of God made he man. That's what Genesis 9 and 6 says. But it's legal to kill unborn children, and you can get by with that. But if you kill a bald eagle, I want to tell you, you'll spend time in the pen for doing that. If you kill an eagle, you see some things that I've noticed here lately, the people for ethical treatment of animals and all, there's these little old owls and things and these forests. You all probably know, I'm sure you know all this, but they are so protected. You know, you can't go in and cut down a tree because you might have a destroy the home of a hoot owl. And yet, little unborn babies can be killed and brushed under the table and thrown in the garbage and down the sewer. Folks, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. I'm not saying, you know, go out and destroy nature, and I love birds and animals and everything, but I tell you, they've taken it so far. It's gone so far, this fairness thing. Be careful. I think things like that can creep in amongst us, and it can cause us to lose a sense or an edge of really what is going on. God help us today. Number 12, justice allows an employer to be generous to those who are in special need, but fairness, on the other side, legislates against an employer's generosity toward those who are in need. Laws based on fairness require employers to give each person in a given job classification the same pay regardless of the individual need. But justice, on the other hand, after paying agreed upon wages, an employer may wish to give an extra amount to someone in need. Ephesians 6, 8 and 9, what does it say? Let's read that real quick. Someone get that for us. Ephesians 6, 8 and 9. I hope that you're not getting angry at me this morning. I hope there's some...
That whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free.
Mm-hmm.
And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him.
Well, may the Lord bless us today. If people would truly follow the golden rule, if people would truly follow after God and take care of the needs of the people around them, there'd not be this greed and hoarding things up and all this, you know, just for me, if they distribute that out, how much of a blessing it would be. What kind of a society would we have if we truly followed the plan of God? It'd be wonderful. It'd be such a real blessing to people. But we're getting so politically correct in a society that everything has to be done just so and so, and you can't reward one young person because they've worked hard and they've done their best. They've stayed up late at night and they've worked and they've practiced and they've really. Put an effort forth, and you reward that person, and you don't over here, and it's like, no, let's be fair now. And this person over here didn't study. They didn't apply themselves. They didn't put forth the effort, but no, you got to reward them both the same because that's fair. You reward them both, give them both an equal portion because that's fair. I didn't grow up that way. I'm just telling you. If you didn't work for it, you didn't get it. And I didn't get it a lot of times. It's like, well, I didn't work for it anyway. But some person that really put the effort, and then you've got to reward them. You can't do that now. You can't just, you know, highlight and make them look good because we've got to be fair. Let's be fair. Lord, help us today. I see something that's going on. And I tell you, I'd be guilty today if I wasn't making some kind of sound to show there's something we need to follow, get back to the plan of God. Last one I had today, justice holds the individual guilty for his offense. Humanistic laws based on fairness hold society for an individual's offense. Laws based on fairness require that the criminal be rehabilitated at the taxpayer's expense rather than on biblical model that the criminal needs to make restitution for his crime. Lord, help us. Humanistic laws, humanistic ways are causing us trouble. There's an undermining spirit that is trying to cause you and I so much trouble spiritually, and it's wreaking havoc in our nation. Is tearing down things just left and right, and a lot of it is humanistic thinking. God help us today. We heard last night, I believe, or yesterday, about Ananias and Sapphira. They were held accountable for their individual part in lying to the Lord. First it was Ananias, and then 3 hours later his wife comes along to ask her, did you do this? Oh yeah, this is what we done. She passed out. I want to tell you, when I read about the account of Job, and I see what Job, what happened to him, I see all the things that he's lost, and I hear him say, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Folks, that does something for me. That touches my heart, because I feel like Job, he wasn't charging God foolishly. He recognized there was something going on. The Lord had blessed him with abundance. He was not feeling sorry for himself. His wife, on the other hand, she said, Job, just curse God and die. We've lost it all. But Job still had that one little word that starts with an I, and that's integrity. He had not lost his integrity. He said, you sound like a foolish woman, one of the foolish women. Just because we've lost everything doesn't mean I have to give up my integrity. And the Scripture says, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I want to say, he was not focusing on fairness. He was focusing on the righteousness of God. And when he done that, he could take those disappointments, he could take the loss of all of his financial wealth, and he could say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We can go through life having a poor me attitude, or we can jump up and say, you know, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. I want to be a righteous person. The sister Alice is saying that I want to be this righteous person. I want to follow God in His ways, and I believe the blessings, they'll start abounding toward us. Personal responsibility is such a needful thing for us today. I pray the Lord will help us. I've got so many more things that I could cover, but not today. But I want to tell you, the principles of God's Word are very important to us. Today, mercy, justice versus fairness. It's up to you. You decide. You decide what you think here. And I hope I'm not trying to stir up nobody's emotions and cause you to be angry, but I do know there's something we need to cover when it comes on these areas. And Lord, help us to do it. And I pray the Lord will bless each and every one of us to see the God's way through it all. Pray for me. Yes.